Welcome to Success Beneath the Surface, hosted by Deborah Fell, Managing Partner at Chief Outsiders. Deborah provides insights specifically for CEOs from growth-oriented companies.
Thank you, Susan. Joe Grace is Partner and Chief Marketing Officer at Chief Outsiders with a background that includes growing companies and brands, including taking WebMD from little known to 40 million registered members. And it only made sense to have a conversation with you, Joe, given the opportunity for businesses to capitalize on the economic highway ahead over the next few years. So, Joe, talk to me a little bit about, I know you've had a ton of accomplishments. We want to hear about some of them, but you are in a great position today to work with companies based on all of your experience. How did you get from where you started to where you are today?
Early in my career, I started a series of my own businesses and learned a lot of lessons along the way. And so now these days I share everything I've learned along the way. And one of the tools that I've used to build brands and grow businesses and introduce new products is omni-channel direct-to-consumer marketing.
Okay.
You know, there are so many different channels, different ways to reach consumers. And depending on your company, the industry you're in, the audience you're trying to reach, there's an optimal mix of channels that you can put together to reach your audience with compelling messages and get them to take some action.
So you and I know that lingo very well, omnichannel, yep. And you've almost described
right.
it. But for someone who's heard it a lot and wished somebody would explain this thing, can you give a definition?
Sure. So omnichannel really means using all of the various media channels where you can reach your target audience. So that includes today everything digital, right?
Sure.
Digital ads and social media and so on. But traditional media is often an important part of the mix. Television, radio, direct mail, and even print is still relevant for some audiences. And so, again, depending on your unique circumstance, there's a mix of these various channels that can produce game-changing results. And it's my job working with clients these days to figure that out.
Interesting point, because we hear digital, 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 and you're saying there's a 360 view. There's an omni-channel view of
there is, especially for younger companies with underdeveloped brands and with new products.
Mm-hmm.
You're relatively unknown. There's nobody searching you, for example, on Google. So how do you build enough brand awareness so that people actually start searching for you? So for certain companies who are underdeveloped, new in their industry with new and innovative products that nobody's aware of, it usually starts with a blend of traditional media, outbound campaigns to reach somebody and tell them a story. Then they begin searching for you online, searching you in marketplaces like Amazon. So what's the right blend is part of the craft that I bring to the table.
Okay. What do you attribute that view to? I mean, you said you started a lot of companies. Is this trial and error? Is this just you've seen like using fewer channels in some instances not work? Or is it truly you're seeing through the eyes of both the owner as well as their client or consumer, whoever their, you know, perspective
right. A large part of these days has to do with experience, right? I've worked on so many campaigns over time.
Yes.
You almost know immediately, given a certain product and the benefits that it has and the audience you're trying to reach, what media mix might work.
Yes.
But on top of that, there's always trial and error. There's fewer trials these days because of all of the decades of experience. Everything about direct-to-consumer marketing has to do with testing. So you come up with a hypothesis, you create some campaigns, you create a multi-channel campaign, and you go out and test and measure. You never make long-term commitments. You're testing for a week or two at a time, reading the information and adjusting accordingly.
So what is it, though, in you? Because others could perhaps have a similar background, starting companies, you know, getting into media and into marketing. What is it about you, do you think, that gives you this inquisitiveness across all these channels with testing?
I am very curious, but something else I do, and I see this mistake happen all the time. Companies trying to create marketing campaigns, trying to reach an audience, tend to talk about things from their point of view, and they make certain assumptions about the audience. In reality, you have to flip that. You know, you're trying to reach a consumer at home. Where are they today? What is their headset? You know, what are they interested in? How are they thinking? And you really need to come up with messaging that really understands who your target audience is and speaks in a way to them as if they've asked you a question.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
In fact, I do a lot of work in healthcare. One of the things I'm always amused by working with a medical practice, for example, they fill up a website with a lot of copy and information as if they're talking to a colleague.
Oh.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not relevant to consumers at all. And people get confused and go away. So understanding the audience, what their headset is,
yes,
what they're looking for, and talking to them with some insight into what they're looking for and what they want to hear is important.
Yes. Well, our speaking of what they want to hear, our listeners for this podcast episode will be largely CEOs
of okay.
market-sized companies. And I think they might be very interested in hearing about some of the things you've done over the years, like you mentioned some startups, you've mentioned running some companies and some of the other things you've done. Will you share a little bit about some of the startups you created? And we spoke at the top about your impact on WebMD.
Yeah, I'll tell you a story, and it does relate to WebMD,
okay,
but sometimes people are amused by it. So one of the first direct-to-consumer campaigns I started in the late 80s and early 90s, we started a fitness equipment company, and our most successful product was Suzanne Summers Thighmaster.
Wow, remember this.
And it took off. It became almost an affectionate national joke. I mean, people just loved it. Everyone fell in love with Suzanne Summers again, who was out of favor.
Yeah.
And, you know, the device really had lots of benefits. We did testing at USC to confirm its benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put together a great television commercial targeting women who are interested in improving their fitness, especially their legs. And it just took off and became a big deal. And, you know, 40 years later, people still remember Suzanne Summers Thighmaster.
Yes.
And that's a result of this wonderful combination of a unique device with unique benefits,
yes,
a story well told,
yes,
celebrity to help grab attention, and the right omni-channel campaign, of which built the brand, drove direct-to-consumer sales, and ultimately set up retail distribution. When we finally released a product out in retail, we set sales records at Walmart and Target and many of the other retailers. It was just a perfect combination. And what I learned along the way, selling millions of units to women,
yes,
we talked to a lot of our customers, we got a lot of mail, we went to trade shows and to retail store events. We met a lot of women, and they told us about their journey and what they liked about the product. And since then, I've sold a lot of products to women and have learned a great deal about women's interests and how they think. So when I walked into WebMD, and the business was struggling, you know, the dot-com bubble had burst, the stock price had crashed, the company was losing $100 million a year.
Wow.
We had about a year's worth of runway left.
Yes.
And I created the marketing strategy and the branding positioning that turned the company around. And it was my insights into marketing to women that really helped, because most women who in WebMD we called caregivers, women, married women who are in charge of their family's health, but also their extended family's health, they're the ones looking for help and information. And it's a lot of pressure, and they really care. You know, the average mom can't sleep if anyone's in pain in their family. So we understood that mindset and created an omni-channel marketing campaign, which included everything digital, but also television. And we ran television ads in the middle of the night when women were doing research to say, it's going to be all right. WebMD is here. We can help you. And after running TV for almost 2 years, we never had to buy another digital ad. WebMD became a household word. It's where everyone went when they needed help with health information. And we built a very significant brand in a short period of time with this omni-channel strategy, really led by TV. All of that experience selling to women really paid off.
And these are two classic, very well-known case studies of brands that we all know, whether we've just heard about them or we've experienced them ourselves.
Yeah. Now, in between, I worked with a doctor, Dr. Nicholas Perigone, who lived in Connecticut. And I met Dr. Perigone, Nick, at a dinner party here in Connecticut. And he had just developed his first line of products and wanted to introduce them into the market. He didn't want to license his products to a third party. He didn't want to partner with anyone. He wanted to do it by himself with using guerrilla marketing. And so I helped him create a strategy. You know, every product and situation has a different solution. So that's part of the magic here. What's the solution? Mm-hmm. He was a great communicator, a Yale-trained doctor, a great speaker. And we started by writing a book. I suggested a title, The Wrinkle Cure. And he wrote the book and we self-published it.
Got my attention.
We ended up promoting the book on public television, basically created an infomercial that ran on public television and gave away hundreds of thousands of copies of the book. It became eventually a bestseller. Mm-hmm. And that launched his career as an authority on anti-aging. It led to more than 8 or 9 books he wrote over time and developed not only his brand, the company Perigone MD Cosmeceuticals, but also built his personal brand as the father of inflammatory theory. That was his angle behind all of his products, reducing inflammation. A unique solution for every situation and circumstance.
Yes. Yeah.
Kind of what I love to do.
So 2 out of 3 of these examples had a personality. Suzanne Summers wasn't the creator of it, but she was the personality and it was believable.
Right.
In this case, the doctor was both the founder, the creator, and the personality. So you built the brands that each of these companies are,
yep.
But you also built, in some ways, the brands
right.
of the people.
Now, we couldn't do that with WebMD, but with a lot of the companies we work with at Chief Outsiders, a privately held company, there's often a CEO,
yes.
A dynamic person who's
yes.
created something.
Yeah.
And so usually part of the solution we come up with to grow the company and build the brand includes the founder's personal story, building their personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
And that really sets the company apart in the market, right? There may be folks who knock you off, but if you're the founder and you have a great personal story,
yeah.
it makes a big difference.
So this is a little slightly off topic, but what's your view of, you know, at some point that founder is going to sell the company, maybe.
Right.
Or
yeah.
they're going to pass it along to someone else or hire a CEO to take their company mm-hmm. to the next level. If the company is built so much on the brand of that person and they step away or something happens to them, what's the impact of that or what can be the impact of that and how do you manage that?
Yeah, that's often a concern, but you know, if the founder moves on, there's still the founder's legacy. And you find in situations like that, for some reason, somebody's visiting a website of a great company built by a unique founder, they still tell the founder's story, even though they're not actively involved,
yeah.
and that makes
yeah.
a difference. So that pays dividends even when the founder moves on.
Mm-hmm. So storytelling is obviously a big part of this for you. What early on got you focused on the power of storytelling?
CEOs need help growing their companies, but don't always have the time or money to hire a full-time chief marketing officer, CMO, or chief sales officer, CSO, or both. Recruiting a quality full-time executive can take months, not to mention the ongoing cost. In these challenging times, CEOs need battle-tested growth executives who can help companies successfully navigate the uncertain waters. Partner with Chief Outsiders CMOs and CSOs who will function as strategic operators to build and execute your growth engines.
Believe it or not, I was in the motion picture industry for years.
Nothing surprises me, Joe.
When I was a kid, I just loved the movies.
Uh-huh.
And I found a way, that's another story about how I get into the movie business, but in part through finance. I worked for a bank and built as a founding member of the bank's Entertainment Industries Group. And we provided finance in the 70s and 80s to a struggling entertainment industry and got to work with most of the studios and helped with a lot of young startups like New Line Cinema. They were one of our customers, Lorimar, the TV company, and many others. So I learned a lot about the entertainment industry and then went to work for one of my customers, Arnon Milchan, the founder of Regency Films. So I became the first president of Regency Films and worked on a number of slates of movies and got to work with some of the best storytellers in the world. So people like Ridley Scott and Martin Scorsese and Sergio Leone, and just worked with some amazing directors and writers and so on, and became intrigued by storytelling. And it really is a craft, how you create a story with the right elements to it, how you grab attention in the world of direct marketing, draw somebody into a story about a product. There's a real craft associated with that. And some companies miss it. You know, the story about a product is not about facts or features. It's about benefits and benefits and how they impact your life. And so if you can come up with the right benefit story that solves somebody's problem or changes their life, it can really move the needle. So all of that storytelling from the 70s and 80s pays dividends today.
Wow. Yes. And it's so interesting because I feel like many times this is just lost, even as a customer, a client, a consumer myself, or you're getting emails and watching the baseball game, or whatever, you're seeing ads, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like, it's okay, because there isn't a real strong connection in there that your brain or your heart, maybe it's more about your heart, you know, when your understanding can grab onto. Like, we get things like 7 digits in a phone number. We, at least within the United States, mm-hmm. we get beginning, middle, and end of a story. You know, we get start slow, it speeds up, the plot thickens, we're scared half to death, and then mm-hmm. there's something really great or something really bad happens. So we can lock onto that. But I feel like it is actually as logical as it is, it seems often not considered.
That's right. Again, a lot of campaigns are created in a vacuum where people have a story they want to tell, but what's the story that's really relevant and captivating to your target audience, right? You have to step into their shoes. If you were at home watching a ball game and you're getting a product for a commercial for a new product, why is it relevant to that consumer, your target audience? And what can you really say to come up with a message that they've been searching for that would resonate with them? And a lot of companies just miss it. There's a lot of nuance to it.
And that has to be learned. So the figuring out of what that story should be. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So here's another example of it. So at WebMD, once we got rolling and started to build our database of registered members, the way we engage these folks usually is with outbound emails. So somebody would sign up for a newsletter around a condition. Let's say it was for heart disease or diabetes or something like that.
Yes.
And so we send out these emails, and we had this remarkable group of medical writers who worked for us. Mm-hmm. But they're medical writers. Mm-hmm. They're not direct marketers, mm-hmm. right? And so early on, a lot of emails didn't get open. A lot of people didn't read everything, didn't click through to the content.
Yes.
And so I spent a lot of time working with our team to get them up to speed on what it takes to be a great direct-to-consumer marketing and to get folks to open up emails. So for over a year working with them, I wrote most of the headlines and subheadlines as a way to demonstrate the power of grabbing attention.
Yes, right? Show them what good looks like. Yes.
Right, that's right. And then you finally get a sense of that over time, what it takes to really reach somebody, usually with some sort of promise or some intriguing, not a statement, but a question that allows you to pique your curiosity and get you to click in and read more. So coming up with those teasers is really important.
And do you think of that as inside of the overall brand story? Like, it's different pieces, but it's in this overall context of the story? for the brand, or is it mini stories?
Yeah, well, it has to be consistent, right? So the positioning we came up with WebMD that really worked over time was we're the most trusted source for online health information, mm-hmm. with all of our content is medically reviewed. So we had to be consistent with that, but you could still create a teaser. Here's the latest breakthroughs in cancer research. Yes. Check it out. Here are the top 10 things you can do to lose weight based on medical research, right? So teasers, but based on a medical foundation.
So Joe, there are many CEOs today who may be listening here even, who are looking to write the story of their own company, meaning the story, mm-hmm. for example, that you've written with Thymaster, WebMD, but they're also looking to write a story for their company and how the long kind of view of the company. What would be your advice?
Yeah, it's every situation is unique, right?
Sure.
But part of the company's branding position, part of what the company has to do is the company has come up with their own unique branding positioning. They have to stand for something unique in the marketplace, yes. something unique that their company offers and so on. And then you build a story around it. So I worked with a company 4 or 5 years ago that was in the business of providing practice management services and information to medical practices, right? And one of their promises was that very quickly, using some of their strategies, you could grow your business and sign up more new patients. Mm-hmm. And the guy behind it was a great speaker and had a big vision and so on. So we tied him into it by writing a book authored by himself that we gave away to prospects and sold on Amazon. And his whole thing was about new patients. So we wrote a book called More New Patients Now.
Oh, what a great book.
More New Patients Now.
Yes. Yes.
So we tied his personal vision and hope for medical practices into the business, his company, and tied it all together with this book.
What really strikes me is you're speaking about standing for something. You know,
right.
What is the genuine story? Having that product or service that is the real thing. And
right.
then building the story around that is genuine to the CEO, founder, or whoever it is. So it isn't like it's like sitting around, what story can we make up to just get sales that may
right.
not be true?
It has to be authentic, right? It's true. It's true. So, you know, we work very broadly in the health and wellness business. So I've done some work with dietary supplement companies, for example. Mm-hmm. And there was a company that created a new line of dietary supplements from a source that nobody had considered before. So it was a brand new line of mm-hmm. products and a story, and the company got off to a great start. But the industry woke up and said, we should do that. And all of these companies came out of the woodwork. At one point in time, when we were engaged, there were 50 companies who had knocked off this company on Amazon, all claiming to be
wow. yes.
a better product or a similar product at half the price. And so we had to pivot and update their branding positioning. And we pushed the fact that they were the founders and leaders of this new movement. Mm-hmm. And nobody can compare to the quality of mm-hmm. the products and the support you get when you join this community. And it's going to change your life. For many companies, competition crops out of nowhere. You have to anticipate that. And be able to adjust your branding positioning in order to continue to grow.
Yes. So, Joe, it doesn't surprise me at all that you can not only help tell that story in a way that grows the business materially mm-hmm. many times over. It doesn't surprise me that you can do that. It doesn't surprise me that you can do that by, in part, helping founders and CEOs develop the true story of that business. And the reason none of that surprises me is because you yourself are the real deal.
You're very kind.
Genuine, authentic. And I've known that because we've known each other for a few years. But hearing you talk about this today really underlines it more and more. And your capability in that regard just grows stronger and stronger.
You're very kind. You know, what's wonderful today is that working at a place like Chief Outsiders, yeah. where we work with such a broad range of companies,
yes.
there's an opportunity for all of us to contribute in meaningful ways to companies around a mission, right? So that's great stuff.
Absolutely. So I really appreciate you having you on the show today. I feel like this is the perfect end point, which is really speaking about the beginning, middle, and end, or at least the beginning, middle, right. and I should say acceleration.
There you go.
Through the power of their own authenticity.
You're the best. Thank you, Deborah. I really appreciate the time today.
Thank you, Joe. Please join me next week, where my guest will be another CEO having tremendous impact in the healthcare industry. Thanks for listening.
Be sure to subscribe in all your favorite podcast apps. Just look for Success Beneath the Surface. Chief Outsiders, part-time growth executives with full-time results.